भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Text Number 6 and 7. Anurmi Matvam Deheshvin Dura Shravana Dharshana Manojavaha Karma Rupam Akhaya Pravishanam Anurmi Matvam Deheshmin Dura Shravana Dharshanam Manojavaha Karma Rupam Akhaya Pravishanam Anurmi Matvam Deheshmin Durashravana Dharshanam Manojava Karma Rupam Parakaya Pravishanam Anurmi Matvam. Being undisturbed by hunger, thirst, etc. Dehe asmin, in this body. Dura, things very far away. Shravana, hearing. Darshanam, and seeing. Manaha javaha, moving the body at the speed of the mind. Kamarupam, assuming any body that one desires. Parakaiha, the bodies of others. Paraveshanam, entering. So I'll read the second verse. Svachanda mṛccho dhevanam saha kridanut darshanam yatha sankalpa sam siddhir agyapatihata gati. The 10 secondary mystic perfections arising from the modes of nature are the powers of freeing oneself from hunger and thirst and other bodily disturbances. Hearing and seeing things far away, moving the body at the speed of the mind, assuming any form one desires, entering the bodies of others, dying when one desires, witnessing the pastimes between the demigods and the celestial girls called apsaras, and completely executing one's determination and giving orders whose fulfillment is unimpeded. Text number 8 and 9. Trikala gyatvam harbhandvam parachitat harigyatat agnyarkambu vishadhinam pradistambho parajaya itaschorishyata prakta yoga dharana siddhaya Yayadharana yashyad yathavashan nibhodame. The power to know past, present and future, tolerance of heat, cold and other dualities, knowing the minds of others, checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison and so on, and remaining unconquered by others. These constitute 5 perfections of the mystic process of yoga and meditation. I am simply listing these here according to their names and characteristics. Now please learn from me how specific mystic perfections arise from specific meditations and also of the particular process involved. Purport. According to the Acharyas, these five perfections are considered to be quite inferior to the others already mentioned, since they involve more or less ordinary physical and mental manipulations. According to Śrīla Madhvacārya, in the perfection called Agnyar Karambu Vishadhinam Pratishtambaha, or checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison, and so on, the term "and so on" refers to one's remaining invulnerable to all types of weapons as well as attacks by nails, teeth, beating, curses, and other such sources. So here again, Krishna completes the list of 18 mystic perfections, 8 of which are natural, and the other 10 are more or less manifestations of the material mode of goodness. So this particular chapter here of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the previous chapter, Lord Sri Krishna has been speaking to Uddhava and describing that the only path that one needs to take is the path of bhakti. So, you know, within this mood of speaking, Krishna is presenting these discussions on mystic cities. Certainly, Krishna is not trying to attract Uddhava or anyone, you know, to try and develop or attain these mystic perfections. Actually, the mood of the conversation is that Krishna is trying to show ultimately that although the path of mystic yoga or Ashtanga yoga can be a stepping stone on the path to bhakti, ultimately it needs to be given up, or if one doesn't take the stepping stone process, one needs not take it up at all and take directly to bhakti. So either way you look at it, whether you look at it as going directly to bhakti or taking the slow process, the stepping stone process, ultimately these things are not necessary at all. The real spiritual master who represents Krishna teaches that. We are very fortunate, of course, because we have in our line of acharyas Srila Prabhupada representing, of course, all the previous acharyas, and then we have Srila Prabhupada's followers, and they are real gurus because they teach us. They don't try to cheat us by inspiring us to spend our life uselessly chasing after something which is not necessary, and which can be very dangerous on the path of spiritual life. The real guru, the real spiritual master, will actually just teach you what you really need to do in life, and that is develop your love for God. That's it. You develop your love for God, you go back to the spiritual world. And to develop love for God, one just needs to follow the path of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, like that. Everything else is not really necessary, although in some circumstances, if one follows the path under proper guidance, gradually moving towards bhakti, then these things can be accepted to some degree. So it is much like if you take the relationship of parents and a child or children. So the children, everything that they need is actually provided for by the parents. That's the natural system. Of course, in Kali Yuga, you know, everything, the difficulty is when you give a natural example, in Kali Yuga, even that's hard to understand, because, you know, quite often, you know, one's parents can be anything but someone who's providing, you know, for you. These days, of course, I heard a statistic the other day that there's some, you know, I think about 600,000 children, I think, something like that, who have been sold, you know, by their parents, either for prostitution or, you know, at a small age. And that. So you can imagine if, you know, that's the number of parents, of course, doing that extreme activity. You can imagine how many parents are doing something still, you know, quite horrible. But so, you know, in Kali Yuga, of course, there's nothing normal. But if we can remember at least, you know, back 20 or 30 years even, or 50 years, and the further back you go, generally the normal thing is that the children, they actually, everything they need is provided for by the family, by the parents. You know, we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada how he remembers in his childhood that there was always, you know, fruits that would come in on the table. There would be, you know, mangoes and so much fruit and grains and milk products, and, you know, everything was there. So in that case, you know, a child doesn't think that, well, you know, my parents, they must be worth, you know, maybe half a mil, you know, if I could somehow take proprietorship of 30% of that, you know, I'd be doing okay, I'd be able to look after myself. You know, a child doesn't think in those terms. You see, they just, they're happy. A child is, you know, they don't think, you know, here is my parents, and they've got so much. They've got this whole house, you know, I've got this little bedroom, I'm 5 years old, and look how they're treating me, you know. Like this, they got a nice car, I got nothing. Children don't think, they're happy that the parents have everything. And that they know that the entire facility of the parents is at their disposal for their maintenance, so that they will, you know, feel loved, protected, happy, nurtured, like that. So that's, you know, the natural situation like that. So the devotee's mentality is like that. You know, a devotee understands that Lord Sri Krishna, he is a proprietor of 6 opulences. Let's see if I can get them. I always leave one out. Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the, also the, he has 8 transcendental qualities. I don't know them all off by heart. This is mentioned in the Krishna book, or the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not sure if anyone knows him off by heart. It's such, you know, that he doesn't die, he doesn't grow old, you know, things like that. They're transcendental qualities. So it's mentioned there in the Krishna book. One of these here, that his order is, you know, whatever his desire, that is immediately fulfilled and is unimpeded. So these are some of the transcendental qualities. So there are 8 transcendental qualities. And he is also the reservoir of these eight original mystic perfections. He can become lighter than the lightest and bigger than the biggest. So we see how in the form of he can enter within the atom, he can enter within the heart of the living entity like this. So these different mystic perfections are there, and they are manifest in Krishna. So the devotee's situation is like the child in the family. They understand it. Well, my father, Lord Sri Krishna, he has everything. Mm-hmm. And he is so kind that the entire facility of all his energies, he is willing to enjoy with me, even insignificant living entity like us, out of love equally. So there's no need for the mystic yogis and the materialists. They're all of the same mentality. Their mentality is because they can't perceive that relationship with the Supreme Lord, then they're thinking, well, I have to get this, in order to be nicely situated. The materialists are thinking, I have to have so much money in the bank, and I have to get my name on that property, on that title, and I have to have this and I have to have that. And I have to have a certain amount of fame, so they've got to put their name, get proprietorship as much as they can. So we see in the Bhagavad Gita that, many times Krishna describes that sense of proprietorship as, it's an anartha, something that's not wanted in the heart. Just like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes would discuss with his disciples. Whether they'd acquired, they'd just moved into a certain city, and they would say, we have a place but we don't own it. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's not important. Krishna owns everything. Krishna has everything. If he wants to give you a building to rent or to purchase, he will do that. If he wants to take it away, he will do it. It's just not important. Already he has everything. We don't have to own anything. Everything belongs to him. So, the mystic yogis, they're also of the same mentality that if I can have the power to control and manipulate as far as possible, the material energy, then I will be looked at. Then I'll be okay. So it's all based upon the same principle, a lack of surrender. There are six principles of surrender which are described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas and also mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. The one should accept everything favourable for executing pure devotional service. One should reject everything unfavourable for pure devotional service. One should always be dependent upon the Lord. One should always feel confident that the Lord will protect and maintain one. One should have no other desire than the interest of the Lord, and one should always be meek and humble. So generally people will look at the devotees and think that they have that the Supreme Lord Krishna is making unjust claims, like some warlord, that you all depend on me, I will be the master, you will all be the slaves. That's the way people can look at the devotees. But that's not why Krishna is asking us to depend on him. The reason he's asking us to depend on him is because it's the natural situation, and that natural situation allows for loving relationship between the Supreme Lord and us to manifest. If we don't have that dependency, it is a symptom of not recognizing how much Krishna loves us. He likes to look after us. He actually likes to, just like any parent, they enjoy, smothering their children with all affection and all the facility that's possible. They get pleasure from that. Children, of course, in the beginning, in the early years, they're thinking, yes, this is good. I'm getting everything. I can just play, and mum and dad will do everything. I do nothing. But again, not seeing in Kali Yuga, but the normal situation is that out of love, when a child grows, even though they can be independent, they always offer with love to look after their parents, to return. When they grow up, if an adult, if you get to in your 20s and teenagers, and these days of course people are 40, 50 years old, they're still living with mum, because mum's always, since a child she's always given, and so I'm still taking like that. But so when someone's like 25, 30 years old and they're thinking, yes, come on mum, dad, make my breakfast, make my bed, can you help me brush my teeth, like this, it's a bit ridiculous. So even though the parents may be self-sufficient, the child, as they grow up, they've learned to have reciprocal love, and they like to do so many things for the parents and not take so much. They don't want to take anything. They might take, because the mother is cooking. You eat, that's okay, I've eaten so much. No, you eat, like this, and she will force. Okay, I will eat. So there's a reciprocation, but it's not based on the selfishness. And the devotee situation is like that as well. That, of course, when people first approach the Supreme Lord, first of all, they're not even approaching the Lord. They're just thinking. He's up there, he's got heaven, he's got the spiritual world, God's doing all right, I'm down here struggling, and I've got to, look after myself, look after number one. That's how that, survival of the fittest, the rat race. So, people have that mentality and they're trying to, have proprietorship or, develop different mystic yoga cities or what have you. It's all based upon this lack of understanding the Supreme Lord is present, and a lack of this reciprocal loving relationship, no understanding of it at all. But then when people do approach the Supreme Lord, in the beginning they're like the young child who is just taken, but still at least they're approaching the Supreme Lord, and at least they're acknowledging that the Supreme Lord is the father of all living entities. Just to come to that conclusion in itself is a huge milestone in one's spiritual life, to accept, yes, there is a personality who is the Supreme Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of all living entities. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Quite often you can hear sometimes the statement that, why would you preach, our Hindu culture, all over the world? Sometimes that's from India, you sometimes hear, this is like Hindu culture. But actually you don't see anywhere where Krishna says that he's a Hindu. Krishna doesn't say that in the Bhagavad Gita. There's nowhere. What Krishna actually says, I'm the father of all living entities. Aham Bija Pradapita. So, to come to that understanding, that's actually God consciousness. The difficulty is that if you take the majority of people who even take to religion, they don't understand that. They think, here is the God of the Christians. So then who made the Muslims? here is the God of the Muslims. They have a joke. My father tells me, my father is an atheist. You've got an open mind. But someone went to heaven, and when they got to heaven, they said to God, who are those people over there? And God said, oh, they're Muslims. Who are those people over there? And he said, oh, they're the Jewish people. And he looked, he saw this big brick wall. Who's on the other side of this big brick wall? He said, that's the Christians. They like to think they're the only ones here. So, even if they can come to that conception that actually Krishna is the father of all living entities, it is a huge, it allows them to have real God consciousness. And then there won't be these sectarian, feuds between one religion and another. Because we will see. It's the same Lord, the same Father who is the Father of the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the atheists, the ants, the elephants. Same Father. Therefore, actually, a Brahmana sees equally, all living entities. So, but, although he is the Supreme Father, in the beginning, people will try to, take. But at least that's good. At least they're recognizing the Supreme Father of all living entities, and they are, to some degree or another, becoming dependent and reciprocating with the Lord in that relationship. But actually, even more elevated is this platform of bhakti. Because bhakti means that you want to serve the Supreme Lord. Even though he doesn't need it. He is full with six opulences, full with all transcendental qualities, the Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic perfections. He resides in the spiritual abode where everything is made of chintamani, touchstone, transcendental touchstone. Constantly served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. Yet, that Supreme Lord, who is completely independent and completely self-sufficient, is very, very happy to accept the service rendered by the living entities, because he is tasting that loving relationship. He actually doesn't need anything, but he relishes that love, and he relishes the fact that we also experience that loving relationship. So this morning, as I was addressing the deities, I was actually meditating on this a little bit, that here is Gaura Nitai, and they are the master of all these opulences and transcendental qualities. But, in this pastime, they stand as if they can't dress themselves. If the Vajari doesn't come in, then, they won't be dressed. So that is their, they're appearing like that. But it's not the fact. One have to be very careful not to think, the deities, that they're just stone, who are, you know, incapable of doing anything. The real fact is that they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet, just to give us an opportunity to engage in a loving reciprocal transaction, they allow us to, dress them and garland them and so many different things like that. And of course, that gives us the opportunity to manifest our loving relationship. And, you know, we can understand how, wonderful the Lord is, how loving the Lord is, that He does that. That's love. Just like a parent, again, when a parent is, reciprocating with a child, the parent may say, even Krishna, with Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj will say, can you bring those slippers? And Krishna will, pick up those slippers and, carry them and, give them to his father. So the father is, quite capable of, getting his own slippers and putting them on. The father doesn't say, "Hey, get out of here, I'll do it myself." He's like, he doesn't feel insulted. What'd you do that for? I'm really strong, I'm really capable, I'm very intelligent, you're trying to insult me? You're bringing my slippers? What's wrong with you, boy? The father actually, and the child's thinking, gee, boy, if I didn't bring those slippers, what would Dad have done? So, that's the relationship that the Lord has. He gives us that opportunity. But even though that opportunity is there, we should be very careful never to consider the Supreme Lord as somehow dependent upon our service. There is an opportunity for that loving transaction. And the same actually with the spiritual master. The spiritual master is a representative of Lord Sri Krishna. And sometimes also we can look at the spiritual master like that. That somehow, we may see them in an ordinary way. We have to understand, of course, that the spiritual master is a very, very dear servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all of the Lord's opulences, mystic cities, transcendental qualities, everything, his full potency is supplied to his pure devotees, the spiritual master. Actually, there's nothing wanting in the spiritual master. But Krishna makes arrangements that they appear to need the help of so many people to come and render this service and what have you. Actually, they're completely self-sufficient. So, again, the disciple or the follower of the spiritual master should always be see the spiritual master in the right transcendental mood and not become proud. Immediately, of course, there's that pride that somehow, my service is so very, very important. And, what would the spiritual master do without me? Then Krishna will have to reveal. That's not the case. You're actually in a lot of illusion there. The spiritual master is actually, I am supplying everything to my pure devotee. The only reason that there may appear to be some opportunity is that opportunity is made for you out of love, to increase that loving transcendental relationship. So here, Krishna is describing, these various mystic cities, but they're not very attractive to the devotees who are actually enjoying that opportunity that's been made by the Lord and his pure devotees to have this transcendental reciprocal loving relationship here, even in this material world. And of course, when one becomes perfect in one's devotional service, then one can serve Krishna to one's heart's delight in the spiritual world as well. I'll just leave it there if anyone has any quick questions or comments. Shrimad Bhagavatam Granthadadi Ki Jaya.